C2A. Number 11A.
The sixth subject is truth. And our epitome here is through man's unity with truth, true manhood is being established in us. So we can see something very interesting that we have seen always in the subtones of truth. The moment in the preceding main tones we came to the subtone of truth, every time that idea was established which said that this makes a better man, a new man, it establishes the claim of God. Can you see every time at the sixth subtone, which is symbolizing the sixth day of creation, the day of the creation of man as idea comes in, and here now we get the main tone after the first five main tones, the main tone of truth, establishing within us the true idea, man. When one reads that whole chapter on Atonement and Eucharist, we have said right at the beginning that one can't help seeing that this is the one chapter where Mrs. Eddy always symbolizes what she expresses in principle, symbolizes it through what Jesus said or did. It is, so to say, the Jesus chapter, but not to say who Jesus was, so to say, but only to show that Jesus exemplified everything that the science of Atonement and Eucharist teaches. So as far as we came in the first five main subjects, something stood out, namely that Mrs. Eddy would take words and deeds from Jesus that were not in a chronological way, so she did not introduce a biography of Jesus that would show her in a, that would show us in a chronological way what Jesus' life was. But when we come to the sixth subject, then that changes. The sixth subject is all about Jesus as presented as a biography of Jesus from the point of conception up to the point of ascension, and gives the spiritual idea of what is behind that human, mortal concept called Jesus. So we learn here the true idea called the Christ man, or the idea man as represented and as brought forth through Mary and presented as Jesus, which would mean something to us. It would show that if our consciousness flows along the first five subjects of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, that that is preparing our consciousness to the point where our consciousness is ready really to receive the idea man, so that we bring forth within ourselves the true idea man. This is what we will witness here. So if Mrs. Eddy explains it through Jesus' biography, she naturally means that it is also our true biography, that actually we can give birth to our true manhood in the same way as Mary was giving it, and afterwards as Jesus was proving it and exemplifying it. Therefore, it's a very big subject for us. And so let's see how that chapter, that tone runs. So we go back to the textbook and read at line 12. There is a tradition that Publius Lentulus wrote to the authorities at Rome the disciples of Jesus believe him, the Son of God. So the subject starts out at once to see what is the Son of God. We remember when we started out with the preceding main tone of life, she was starting out that life is God, the fatherhood of God, and now at truth we come to the Son of God, not to the Father God, now to the Son of God, and is introduced here that the disciples believed him to be the Son of God. Now, that's what the disciple believed. Can you see again already a tone of mind that what they considered to be? Mind is that which thinks and considers and apprehends and comprehends and recognizes. You do that through mind, capital M. And now, those instructed in Christian Science, again you have mind instructs, mind is that which knows, we learn through mind. So those instructed in Christian Science have reached the glorious perception. Now we come to the perception, mind perceive, mind knows, to what that God is the only author of man. And here you have a typical tonality of mind, because mind is the creator, so God, mind, is the author, the creator, the producer of man. So we have those two statements. First, the statement what the disciples thought about Jesus, and now what those instructed in Christian Science thinks about Jesus. So it's all about what we know, so that we start out with the divine mind and see that only the divine mind is the only author of man. This was new at that time, to think that God is the author of man. The Virgin Mother, now we come to the Mother, the side note is the fatherhood of God, namely that God is the creator of man. You have the fatherhood of God. What the Father creates as man is the Son of God, truth. And now we have the third in the divine Godhead, the Mother. Now we have the Virgin Mother. She conceived this idea of God and gave to her ideal the name Jesus, that is Joshua the Savior. If you read this paragraph, ask now what is the subject in it, we can see when we analyze it that Mrs. Eddy takes three incidents or three ways of explaining really that man is the idea of God, the Son of God. The first example was what the disciples believed. They believed Jesus to be the Son of God. Then she takes what those instructed in Christian Science know about man, about the Son of God, that God is the creator of man. And the third example is the Virgin Mother, that she conceived also the idea of God, this idea of God, that God is the author of man, and gave to her ideal the name Savior, Joshua, Jesus. These are all the same terms. So, can you see when we try to find to the text interpretation of such a paragraph that we should be aware that Mrs. Eddy just wants to bring out one idea, but that she symbolizes it through different ways, but that which is important is just that one idea, saying, look here, man is created by God, or God is the creator of man. It's interesting to look deeper into this paragraph and to say now, what is it actually that we also have to entertain in consciousness in order to give birth to a saving ideal, just as the Virgin Mary did. So what did she do? She was the very first one, actually, in the human history, in the lineage, from Adam up to Abraham and up to her time, to see that man is not brought forth by parents, but that the real man is brought forth by God, that God creates men, not parents creating people, so that we begin to realize that if we want to give birth to our true manhood, so that we are actually not the son of our or the daughters of our parents, but that we are the son of God, that we have to start all over again with our creation, that we say, all that what has I have witnessed up to now about my parentage and about my creation, I must put away. This is not a virgin thought. This is a purely materialistic, corporeal concept. So in order to give birth and to build up that biography that we will witness now, just as we witness the biography of Jesus, we have to start from scratch, so to say, and see that mind, the divine mind, really has an idea, and therefore the divine mind creates ideas, and not people creating people, but that it is the divine mind that I must entertain. And if I entertain that mind is my pair, is my parent, that the parent mind, capital M, is actually the source and origin and author of man, then I begin to see that I come from a very different source. And I begin to realize constantly that I am not brought forth by human parents, but that the divine mind wanted me, that the divine mind desired me, that the divine mind willed me into being, that the divine mind wanted me to project into being, so that the divine mind is a perfect cause that has a perfect idea and therefore will do everything to bring that idea to its fulfillment. This is a big thought. It's a thought that we should entertain consciously, and not only when we read it quickly and say, oh yes, that's so and so, and then we forget it for the next few weeks until we read again something that mind is the creator. We have to take these big insights into our consciousness and tend them, mother them. We have to be a virgin mother to them. We have to give to that idea all our love and our purity and to entertain it. This is a big thing. So many people walk around and have the feeling that they have not been wanted, that they happened by accident, and go through life burdened with that sense that they are not wanted, and therefore that life for them is strange, is not a lovely life, and feel constantly under that burden. Now, we all have, no matter if humanly we have been wanted and desired or not wanted, in both cases we should free ourselves from the belief that people, material parents, have created us. Or we will never really be able to free ourselves from a mortal concept of man, and then we are not building on a sure foundation. And therefore we should not be surprised that then our life is not really caused and willed and desired by the divine mind. So let's build a completely new start. As a young student at the university, I remember so well, for weeks and weeks, I went around going down to the university, coming back from the university, going to a cinema or anything like that, walking around. I always entertained the fact, though I had very dear parents, I entertained the fact that they are not my parents, that I am not conceived corporeal, sexually, that really my great being, my grand being, is something in mind, is an idea in the divine mind. And that the divine mind really wanted me, brought me into existence, desired me to get into existence, to fill that idea that mind has conceived of me. And that I'm going to fulfill what mind wants me to do, and not what just happened from day to day, but that there is a great plan conceived of by mind and will be fulfilled by the impact and the greatness of that divine mind. And I feel that has been a very, very solid basis for the whole development of my consciousness. Starting right out where here Mrs. Eddy starts out, to see what the Virgin Mother saw, that she began to realize that man does not come from people, but that it comes from God Himself. And therefore, that man is an idea, but therefore man is not a corporeal being, so that we entertain in our consciousness that what we appear corporally, materially, in a personal way, is not really me. It's only that idea that right from the beginning I entertain as mind's desire to bring forth an idea that serves mind's own plan, that only that really is the me, so that I can separate from me all that which is corporeal, which is material, which is personal, egotistic, and so on, that really doesn't constitute my identity. But not only just see that what does not constitute my identity is important, but then to see what does actually constitute my identity is of great importance, and constantly to entertain that. Don't you think you get a very different sense of yourself, really a saving sense of yourself, a really comforting sense of yourself, when suddenly you feel that the eternal mind, not the mind that started a few decades ago, but that the eternal mind, that mind which is so big, which is the all of it, and has existed before Abraham existed. I always said to myself, I've existed before Abraham existed, before the corporeal concept of man was even conceived of by mortal mind. I existed long before that. I have an ancestry that goes much further back than just before Abraham. It goes right back to God. It goes right back to the eternal mind. And I begin to see that eternal mind had an eternal history and record ready for me, and is just bringing me into the channels and into the direction that mind wants to bring out the identity of what I am as idea. Think about it, and then you feel at once the bigness of your own identity as idea. The Virgin Mother conceived this idea of God. If she says this idea of God, she refers back to the text, namely that God is the only creator of man. So the Virgin Mother conceived this idea. We too have to be that Virgin Mother. We too have to see that everything within us is virgin, that it is pure spirit, that it is pure of the ideal, so that nothing comes in which wants to limit me, which wants to say I'm not good enough, which says you will not succeed, you will not have success and fruit, or that it will be a life of frustration and so on. As a mother consciousness, I entertain constantly the true idea and watch over it and cherish that idea and watch that nothing enters that wants to belittle this idea. You know very well that the human mind, the mortal mind, comes up with suggestions and says, no, you are not good enough for that. You know, you are just a little pebble on the beach and nobody notices, and if you are there, it doesn't matter. If you are not there, it doesn't matter either. Nobody will notice it. Anyway, well, this is not the Virgin Mother. We should see that the idea man is great. Great is the idea. But naturally also the birth of it may be quite tremendous and may bring quite a few problems. So let's therefore nurture the idea as an ideal and give it the sense that that is the savior, as it is here today in the 7,000 year period. You can see that our ideal is divine science, not so much a savior as in Christian science, but that our ideal that we conceive is divine science. You know how later on in the textbook Mrs. Eddy will bring out that Jesus, or that divine science, ushered Jesus into human presence. You see, there we begin to realize in our age that divine science is the creator. The divine science that ushered Jesus into human presence. And my whole love at that time when I was doing that and began to see that my origin is not corporeal, that it must be in God, in mind, I was asking myself, what is the ideal, the highest ideal that the Virgin Mother can conceive in our age? And I always felt it was divine science. And so I began to be more and more conscious right at the beginning of my studying Christian science that what is the ideal would be not so much a savior, but much bigger than that, really the comforter, divine science, which Mrs. Eddy then brings out at the end of this chapter. So that we see that we come from divine science, and therefore as the idea of divine science, our destiny or our mission is to exemplify divine science. And not so much that what the 5,000 year period showed, namely what Jesus had to show to the world at that time, namely the mind over matter power. That mind has power over matter. Today, the ideal is divine science, and therefore our whole love should go out to entertaining consciousness the divine science. And that is what was born to me at that time in 1 second of my entertaining that consciousness. I felt that divine science is born within me. I could feel it as a promise, just as a mother who conceives and bears within her a child has that wonderful sense of promise and anticipating that promise. That mother already sees that child to be the President of the United States or anything very big. She had always a great ideal and rejoices in it. And in that same way, we should be that Virgin Mother that entertains as the ideal, really, divine science. That's mind. We can see very easily truth as mind, truth, the Son of God, being brought forth by mind, by the Creator, God as the Creator. A very clear-cut combination of truth and mind. When we come to the further point, namely to truth as spirit, we naturally will feel what that must be, that it should show truth, or the man, the idea man, as a spiritual idea, that it is an idea that has to be given birth spiritually, so that the idea as a spiritual idea is being born. And let's see what Mrs. Eddy really tells here about it. And we see it is round about that tonality. She goes on and says, the illumination of Paris, you see the illumination that came from mind, she conceived of that idea, she was illumined at the point of mind with that idea. And this illumination of Mary's spiritual sense, now she defines it through spirit, as spiritual sense, did what? Put to silence material law and its order of generation. Can you see now spirit coming in? It put to silence what? The material law and the material order of generation. You know the birth, that it is a, must be a spiritual birth and not a material birth. So the moment we begin with divine mind, actually we begin to see that divine mind is never in matter, and has never a material order, but only a spiritual order. And so she goes on and brought forth her child. See, spirit brings forth, mind creates, spirit brings then forth and then folds, was brought forth, her child, by the revelation of truth. So you have a wonderful combination that truth reveals itself through spiritual order, and thus demonstrating God as the Father of men. M-E-N, not M-A-N. Can you see? Here at this point we begin to see that it is actually the translation of God right down to mortals, and says that that shows that God is the Father of men, that men or mortals should begin to acknowledge that really God is the Creator and the Father of us all.